I wanted to give chronological order where readers can see how certain views evolved throughout the ages. So that was the primary point of doing that.
Did you, in your research, come up with the most quotable president? Do you have a favorite?
A favorite presidential quote? Well, I would have to say Thomas Jefferson is probably one of my favorite quotable presidents. He said, the man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers.
It would be expected to have the words of Washington and Jefferson and Lincoln, the Roosevelts, which are some of the more quoted presidents, some of the more famous presidents. But I also found in looking over the book that some of the more interesting and profound quotes came from some of the, what should we call, the lesser known and unquoted presidents like Tyler, Cleveland, Garfield, Chester Arthur. Were you surprised at some of the quotes coming from those men?
Well, I wanted to come across with a book that was new to the public. Actually, one of the reasons why I not only new, but something that a resource that people can use every day. I was actually writing my U.S. history paper some time back in the College of DuPage in Chicago, and I was trying to conclude my term paper with a quote from U.S. history, from U.S. president. Who would be better to quote from for a U.S. history paper than a U.S. president, right? And then, to my surprise, this country has a plethora of books on American history and culture and even presidents. But finding a resource or finding a book that was exclusively on presidential quotes and that was comprehensive was actually non-existent. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, in the 200 plus years of this history, why hasn't anyone come up with this kind of book? And that's what kind of sparked my my interest and the momentum to start Wisdom from the Oval Office, to get an overview from all the different presidents.
One of my favorite quotes is Chester Arthur, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here. Someone asked him his thoughts on the temperance movement and whether or not he drank alcohol, and he essentially said, "My personal life is nobody's damn business," which I guess he could get away with back then, but nowadays a president and a politician's personal life seems to be everybody's business.
Yes. I mean, it's just, you know, one of the ways that we've evolved with this country. I mean, even in the early days of America, it wasn't uncommon for presidents and presidential candidates to mudsling each other, even to the extent that, you know, these confrontations would get physical. There was even a point where Alexander Hamilton, the guy on the $10 bill, actually had a gun feud with Aaron Burr, who was a gubernatorial candidate for New York, which ultimately led to a mortal wound, which Alexander Hamilton fell to and passed away. So we've come a long way from things that we could have gotten away with in the past till now, where certain things are, you know, just the way they are, people's business. It will be interesting to see how we'll move forward in the coming years.
From many of the quotes, the president seemed to have very much a love-hate relationship with the job. They're certainly honored by the office, but they're often overwhelmed by the responsibility. It seems very exhausting, both mentally and physically. Did you get that from the quotes as well?
Yes. Going through all of these quotes and the research that went behind this, at the end of the day, the book acts, as one critic put it, as a portal into the lives of the presidents, both in their public and personal spheres. So the book has quotes that range from the awe-inspiring, optimistic, profound, and even comedic to even those of frustration, anger, loss of hope, and even deep-rooted hatred for something or someone. So the reader will ultimately see the presidents as simply humans with human emotions that held the highest office in the land. That's really what it comes down to.
Where did you find a lot of these quotes? Did you just go to the biographies, the articles, talk to historians? How did some of these quotes surface?
Well, I utilized local libraries in Chicago, as well as the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. Also, there are several presidential libraries. Those were all big help. And my sources ranged from personal diaries to letters to newspaper articles to autobiographies of the presidents.
Do you think there's some unnamed sources here? For instance, how often do the speech writers and the assistants to the presidents get the compliments and get the kudos for some of these quotes that are given to the presidents? I guess we'll never know if the presidents really thought these things or if someone thought it for them and put it down on paper for them.
Well, many senior level elected officials in the government have speechwriters today, and the presidents are no exception. President Obama has John Favreau as his, George Bush had Bill McGurn, Clinton had one, and the list goes way back. It's even said that Alexander Hamilton, the same guy in the $10 bill, was actually the speechwriter for George Washington. So speech writing definitely has a long history in this country.
What do you hope a reader takes away from this book?
At the end of the day, presidents are just humans with human emotions that were elected to the highest position in this country. And through the quotes that the reader will read, he or she will see that presidents were just as human as anyone else, both in the positive and negative lights. I mean, I didn't sugarcoat any of the quotes I put, so you'll find a whole range of different quotes, from almost sublime to just downright unsugarcoated, to put it mildly. So really, they're just humans that held the highest office in the land.